Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm Ann Gordon here with my friend and chavruta here, Dana Azband. Our daf of the day, Masechet Bava Batsia, daf.
Before you get started, Anne, I just want to mention, I think one of the best Nes Nistars we've had so far, that we are doing Daf 76 on Israel's 76th birthday. So I'm kind of obsessed with this today.
Page 76, but we're starting the new Perek, and that really begins on the bottom of the previous Daf. So that's where we're going to kick in today, chapter 6. And we are shifting gears somewhat. Namely, we still are dealing with, I would say, the halachic elements of a business relationship. But in this case, or at the beginning anyway, we're talking about when one party hires another party to do specific work, and then how the halachot are going to apply, you know, what is allowed, what is not allowed in a short-term assignment, in a long-term assignment, you know, these kinds of things that are, you know, nowadays we would put them all under, I guess, you know, employment law, something like that. But then still a matter of halacha. And still we're relating or going back to, I guess, the question of exploitation in a very different sense than what we've seen in the past. But we will see it show up as a concern, you know, how it is that people hire and work for each other in a healthy halacha kind of way. So the Mishnah that begins on the bottom of Ayin Hey Amud Bet says as follows: Hasocher et haumanim veitu ze et ze, ein lahem ze al ze ela taromet. Says like this: if you hire artisans, craftspeople, or laborers, right, and then they put one over on each other, meaning they're deceiving one another, and they have grievances against each other, but they don't have any financial claim, right? It's just a grievance. They're fighting, right? So that's the case. Then, and the question then is, you know, well, we'll have to hold on to that to see what we do with it. The fact that they don't have a financial claim against each other is significant, of course. Shachar et achamar betzagader lavi payafarin v'chalilim lekala olamit. So if you have a donkey driver or you have a potter to bring posts, pariafarin is this posts, they're going to be for the canopy, or flutes, they're going to play for the bride or for the dead, right? Which tells us a good amount about their society, if we want to suppose what they have musicians there for. Upolin la lo tepishta no min hamisra, min hamishra, sorry. They want to bring, you hire people to lug up the flax from the tub, right? Where you put the flax in the, for to soak, whatever, in the beginning of the manufacture of linen, right? All of these things, you bring in these people, kol davar she'aved, any of these things could entail a financial loss. V'chazru behen, makom she'ein sham adam, socher aleihem o mat'an. So if it takes place in a circumstance where there's no other person to do that same task, then he can hire replacements at the expense of the first person who's had this kind of altercation, whatever, and is now, you know, off the job. Or alternatively, it says, and this is, I think, interesting, you could even deceive them, meaning these people who have somehow, you know, flubbed this up, right? What do you say? You could deceive them to get them to come back to do the job. Meaning the workers are having a fight. And if there's no financial loss, so then whatever. But if there's a financial loss that's entailed by the person who has brought them in to begin with, then the goal is to get the job done. And you get the job done either by hiring somebody else and charging it to those people who are supposed to have gotten the job done to begin with, or convince them, however you manage that, to keep going. We have another connected halacha at the end of this Mishnah. Hasocher tomanim v'chazru behen yadam al ha'tachtona. If you hire artisans, craftspeople, laborers, right, and they renege on the agreement, they don't do the work, and says they have the, they said their hand is on the bottom, right? They are at a disadvantage, meaning they have to make sure that the employer doesn't suffer a loss because they did not fulfill the terms of their hire, of their employment. So it's not really in their best interest to walk off the job, you know, while they're still on, you know, under whatever they're expected to be doing. He can come after them for it. Im balabait chozer bo, yado ala tachtona. But if it's the employer who reneges, then he's the one at the disadvantage, right? Meaning, theoretically, then he should, maybe has to pay them, or they can come after him, come to him for, like, to make sure that they would have to, like, do a job for him that would cover whatever they were supposed to already be doing. And the Mishnah then concludes, call him a shaneh. Anybody who's going to come to change the terms of whatever agreement to get the work done, that person is at the disadvantage. And likewise, somebody who reneges on an agreement, obviously, you know, that's going to come back to bite him. That's the terms here are like, everybody, just do your jobs that you've contracted to do and we'll carry on nicely. And in the event of not carrying on nicely, it should not surprise anybody that the halacha frowns upon that.
I think it's telling us something obvious, but obviously we're going to see, I'm using the word obviously twice, we're going to see that the Gemara is going to take this Mishnah and sort of, you know, kind of turn it on its head in a certain way. Yeah, so the first thing that the Gemara is going to do here is, it, you know, when it talks about an employer hiring a craftsman, and you know, then it says this lie, right? They deceived one another. This is like one of these classic sort of vague Mishnah lines that I think if you're learning Mishnah straight, you're like, oh, okay, that must mean the employer and the craftsman deceived each other. But when the Gemara gets a hold of this type of language, you know, it becomes very interesting to the Gemara, and they are actually not clear who is deceiving who. Is it an employer and the craftsman, or is it one craftsman deceiving another craftsman? So they're going to spend a bunch of time sort of trying to figure that out, and going through the Mishnah, and, you know, trying to talk about what exactly is the case that it's actually discussing here. And they give about three options of how to understand this. And then from there, it starts the following discussion. The Shita Iyamar Le Bal Habayit Bitzlata, right? It's obvious that if the employer told the hiring worker to hire others at a rate of, let's say, 3 zuzim a day, but Azal Ihu Amar Luhuba Arba, and the hiring worker went and told the workers that the employer was actually offering 4 zuzim a day, but Amri Le Kamosha Amar Bal Habayit, and then the workers said back to him, okay, we accept the terms, you know, as said by the employer. Datu aluya, right? So their intention is to get this higher, you know, wage of 4 zuzim. Ela'iyamar le bal habay barba. But let's say the employer told the hiring worker to hire them at a rate of 4 zuzim, but azil hi amalu bitzlata. And then the hiring worker tells the other workers that the employer was actually only offering 3 zuzim. But amri, and those workers agree to the 3 zuzim. My, right? In what a case, in this case, how do we interpret the worker's response? Right? Adubra dide kas meche, right? Are we relying on the hiring worker's word? To amrile mehemnat land ahachi amar bal habayit, right? When they basically say, we trust you that the employer said this. So in other words, they assume that they're only going to get 3 zuzim, since the hiring worker didn't say more than that. Odilma adibura de bal habayit kas miche. Or maybe they're relying on the words of the employer, right? That they're telling the hiring worker they don't trust him, and so they don't want to be bound by what he says. But when they say this line of, right, when they say de amri le, right, they're basically saying, we're only going to do what the Baal Habayit says. Like, in other words, there's a sensitivity to the language here that maybe what they're saying is, we don't totally trust the price that you're giving us, right? Then maybe we want to know what the Baal Habayit actually said here. So the Gemara tries to figure this out. Toshma, hacha li giti, right? So they go back to Giti. If a woman goes to somebody and says, bring my get to me, v'ishtacha amra hitkabel li giti, but that person told the husband, your wife said to me, accept my get for me. And the husband says to the person, as he gives him the get, this get is for you, as she said. So Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Barabu, said in the name of Rab, even if the get reaches her hand, she's not divorced. And so the Gemara is to explain why is it. Shmata mine adibura dide kasmich. Learn from this, right, that the husband relies on the shaliach's words, right? The husband, right, basically tells the shaliach, right, wanted to tell the shaliach that he trusts what the shaliach said of his wife's instructions and assumes that the agent, right, is her shaliach, and though he doesn't even bother to appoint him as the shaliach for the delivery. But the thing is, the woman didn't actually appoint this person as the shaliach, and therefore this person is not a shaliach of anybody. So Rav Nachman basically says that the woman isn't divorced because the get wasn't actually properly transferred from the husband to the wife. So using this case, what Rav Nachman is basically saying is that when the workers say to the hiring worker, we accept the terms as the employer said, they're relying on that the hiring worker stated those that what the employer wanted correctly, and that's what they mean to accept, right? So what this would basically mean is, right, for it would enter your mind that he relies on his wife's actual words, that the husband, you know, basically, you know, assumed that this person was her shaliach, right? And once the get reaches his wife, then she should be divorced, right? So it's basically the same thing. So this would basically mean that you can't trust what the hiring worker said in that last case, because really the workers only agree to this because they assume that the hiring worker is actually representing the boss correctly, the employer correctly. So Gemara rejects this. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says, Hachi hashtag, can we really compare this? Bishlama iitmar ifacha, right? It would be understandable if the opposite had been said, right? If Nachman had discussed the case and where a wife's told somebody, hitkabel ligiti, accept my get for me, but the agent told the husband, your wife said, bring me my get. And the husband said, okay, this is the get for you, as she said. And Rav Nachman said in the name of Rabba Baravua, in the name of Rab, once the get gets to the agent's hand, she is divorced. This would have implied that the husband relied on his wife's words. Inami mishihigia get liadam migureshet. Or Rav Nachman could say that once the get reaches her hand, she's divorced. Ama de adibura dite kasmich. It would have followed that the husband relies on the agent's words, right? So in other words, Rav Nachman basically saying that the get takes effect when it's delivered to the wife. And this would have proved that the husband based his instruction on what the shaliach told him. I was told to bring the get to her. Right. Even though that wasn't, you know, so the agent accepts the get on these terms and therefore becomes the husband's agent, basically. OK, that's what they're trying to say. This is Elahatam. But here in this case, right, the one that Rav Nachman actually discusses, the reason the get is invalid has nothing to do with the husband's intentions. Mishum to akar shaliach l'shlichute legamre, because the agent completely nullified his own agency. How did he do that? Because he basically says the husband, I'll agree to be an agent for acceptance, but I will not agree to be an agent for delivery. That's what he basically says. Because remember, this case of Rav Nachman is that, you know, she, what does he do? This woman says, bring my get to me. So, you know, so he's basically the get for, you know, but once he goes to the husband and says, you know, your wife said, but once he goes to the husband and he basically says, accept my get, that's not assuming that you're going to deliver it. That's just saying that you're going to accept it. So essentially, you know, so basically they're going to say that Rav Nachman, what he tries to compare here, actually, you know, it doesn't have any comparison. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara drops it then, right? From here, they get into another discussion, again, going back to this line of, you know, deceiving one another and trying to figure it out. And I think it's interesting, they don't really resolve it here. They don't really come up necessarily with another case here to say that there's a parallel to this in another area of halacha. Instead, I think they really come out and say, like, where Rav Nachman says isn't really a good parallel, and we can't use it as a parallel. But I don't see another parallel here. And so I'm not quite sure what to make of that. I mean, we just started this path, but I'm not quite sure what to make of that.
Not directly responding to what you said, but I find it very interesting that almost from the get-go, we're jumping into a discussion that is no longer just employer-employee, right? Or wrangling employees, right? We're talking already about get. It feels like, what? Like, what just happened? In a way that it should not surprise me at this point, but somehow still does.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. What surprises you? In other words, like, why bring something that you're going to disprove in the end?
I feel like it's making things complicated before we even have the streamlined baselines. And we've seen this, like, I remember in Yevamot in particular, right? We dive right in, and then several chapters later, you get the kind of definitions that you would have wanted from the beginning. And here I feel like we delve right in with like, the complications are already in the Mishnah. If you have, you know, as I said, wrangling employees, we don't have like, here's how it's supposed to work. We have, here's a problem. Okay. But then the Gemara goes further than that, right? Not just here's a problem, but here's a problem that seems not to even be on our topic.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying, right? Like, we haven't really figured all this out. And then you, like, sort of come and bring up this, like, random other topic. And then they, like, leave it hanging. It's not actually really resolved at all, which is kind of interesting.
Eventually, I'm sure it will all become clear, right? Because we're in a new chapter. So that's what happens. But that's all. That was my, you know, it's a little bit from left field comment on the Gemara going a little bit to left field.
Well, that's our top discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this stuff in our Talking Talmud Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.